Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Never too early for all things 2025 NFL Draft here with Shane Hallam, formerly of DraftCountdown.com. You made the big move to Draft Shark, so that's an exciting news announcement if people missed that over on X, but you're becoming a full-time Dynasty analyst. So I wanted to start out by saying congrats, my man, long time coming, and really look forward to your future opportunities here.
No, thanks. It's exciting. I've been in the industry for 20 years, so it's nice to finally come, and I'm excited to kind of get to work and work with some great people at Draft Sharks for sure.
You come out, you know, guns a-blazing in the summer months, as you typically do, with mock drafts galore, rankings galore. Future casting of potential NFL talent has always been one of the watchwords, you know, when I've consumed your content in the past. And like you said, you've been a stalwart for decades, where I remember early podcasts where you had to download the shows on MP3 players, and you were on those shows, you know, that I downloaded years and years ago when I was first starting and cutting my teeth. And so starting out with 2025, the quarterback class stands out, that you actually had no quarterbacks in the top 10 of your mock draft. That's a far different environment and atmosphere than we had this year, with a ton of quarterbacks, you know, in the top 12, six of them to be exact, going far earlier than expected. Just talk about the landscape of quarterback in general as you were putting this together and as we look ahead to 2025.
It's tough because usually I feel like we have a good handle on at least a couple guys at the top. We've had Caleb Williams and Drake May up there forever, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. And so you know these rock solid pieces are going to be at the top of the draft, and maybe there'll be a new name or face like Jaden Daniels that pops in. This is a very different draft class heading into 2025, where I don't think there's a quarterback worthy of a top 10 selection right now. That doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that a team does it stupidly or a player gets better and is worth that pick, you know, but right now I look at the landscape of quarterback and there's no one, in my opinion, there's no one worth a first round pick, let alone a top 10 pick at the quarterback position. Now, there's going to be a quarterback taken in the first round. Like, we had Kenny Pickett, but I think this mirrors 2022 a lot more than it mirrors 2024, 2023. The one benefit that I do think the 2025 quarterback class does have is it's deep. There's a lot of players with potential to be that guy, to be the next Jaden Daniels, to be that player that emerges out of nowhere or has a pedigree like a Bo Nix, like a Michael Penix, and could play their way into a top spot. So I think we'll see the quarterback landscape get better, but I'd be very hesitant in a super flex league to really be gung-ho about those 2025 rookie picks, because I think even if we could see some artificial propping some of these quarterbacks.
Okay. Two of the big names you typically saw kind of batting about, you know, when people were having discussions over the last 2 or 3 months for 2025 was Carson Beck and Shedeur Sanders. And you have both of them outside of the first round. And Quinn Ewers, actually your QB1 off the board here, as I mentioned, not in the top 10, but shortly to follow. Can you talk about Ewers in terms of being, at least at this point, your clear quarterback one that you project a year from now? Obviously, I mean, Texas is loaded. I mean, if Quinn Ewers cannot, you know, have his best year yet with some of the weapons that they have put around him. And again, it sounds like Manning is not really, you know, he's the patience play, you know, that things would have to go poorly with injury or poor play for Ewers to have a good chance for Arch Manning here this year. So talk about Ewers, as you know, what does he need to prove, and how you know, where is he on the scale in terms of a finished product right now?
I think Ewers needs that consistency to show that he can do it game to game, week to week, with the talent, like you said, that Texas certainly had last year with Xavier Worthy and Jonathan Brooks and Adonai Mitchell. Right, all got drafted high. They're going to have another a couple receivers drafted this year. So I think he has the arm talent. When you watch Quinn Ewers, you see that. You watch the Alabama games that he played in, and you see him really be able to decimate that defense with the arm talent, with the movement in the pocket awareness. Like, it's all the whole package is there. I've seen it for Quinn Ewers, but 75% of the time, he's not able to put all those pieces together and get it done, especially with the talent around him. So it's a projection, like this entire class is, but I think Quinn Ewers has a lot more upside than a Carson Beck, who I think Carson Beck is a lot of people's top quarterback, going number one overall. Carson Beck to me is Mac Jones, where he's fine, like he's fine, and he's working within the system. The system's built around him, and Carson Beck's going to put up good numbers with a good run game behind him, and it's going to be fine. He's going to look good. He probably will be a first round pick. I don't think he should be, and I don't think he has the upside to be a phenomenal fantasy talent. I think Quinn Ewers has that type of upside if we see it from him this year. Quinn Ewers could be a day three pick. I think the range for all these quarterbacks is that wide.
Wow, look at that. Downsides day three for these guys. That's a jarring thing for folks in Devy leagues taking their shot, on their guy, if you will. High leverage for sure. I saw a few people drafting Travis Hunter in Devy leagues, and I think there's a lot of risk that, and from what I've heard early dialogue back in the spring, that obviously playing two ways there in college, but he's probably going to be more valuable as a corner than a wide receiver to the NFL. Can you kind of talk about Travis Hunter, the prospect for both positions? There's risk here. I remember Kyler Murray with baseball. This is a different story, two positions at football here. But Travis Hunter, in terms of the risk of him being a sole defensive player versus wide receiver.
I think Travis Hunter is definitely a better corner than he is wide receiver. And so when that's happening, I think it's a more valuable, it's not necessarily a more valuable position at the NFL level, right? I mean,
More
receiver, I think, is
scarce.
more valuable, but more scarce. Yeah. You need three, four really good corners in today's NFL. And so I think if you draft Travis Hunter, maybe you'll play him a little bit here and there on offense. But he reminds me a lot of Chris Gamble from Ohio State back in the day, who did very similar thing, played corner, played a lot of wide receiver as well, started 12 games on offense. And you just knew Chris Gamble was going to be a cornerback. Like, that's where he made his money. That's where the Travis Hunter's going to do the same thing. He'll be a return guy. He'll be a corner, use him on some trick plays. So unless you're in an IDP league where, hey, I
Right.
can kind of get a little bit of both here, he can get tackles and get a catch or two a game. But I just don't see how Travis Hunter is ever going to be startable if he's not a full-time receiver. If he plays corner as well, there's no way in fantasy you're ever going to want to use him. I have him down at 200 in my 200s of my Devy rankings. Like, he's not anywhere close to draftable for me.
Yeah, a corner is a very scarce resource, and I can't imagine an NFL team trying to do some of the things that Deion did in terms of some of those snap counts and those Uber games that we saw from Travis Hunter, at the next level per se. Running back, it's back. A position that, we got a guy coming off an ACL going in the top 50, and there wasn't much dialogue of anybody really going in the top 50 pre-draft. You have a far different scene here in 2025. So that's exciting, especially in one quarterback formats, as you mentioned, where you really need running back and some wide receivers to populate. And Superflex, this might be what we're looking at as some of the best players instead of quarterback this year. Next year, it might very well be sans quarterback at the top of the board. How about Ohio State? Can you talk about Trevion Henderson? He's had some injuries. They also brought in Quinshon Judkins. So it's going to be a 1-2 punch there as two of your better running backs of the class.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think it's a good thing for Trevion Henderson. When he has been healthy for Ohio State, Trevion Henderson's been dynamic, five-star recruit who has that speed, has the athleticism, and you can see the vision improvement that's been made through his career. But injuries have hampered him, and he's played less than 100% for a ton of games. And you've been like, I don't know about this guy, right? And then last season, he's super, fairly healthy. Almost 100% healthy and crushing it. So that's more of a projection for me. I think Henderson's going to be a 4.3, low 4.4 player who's going to crush the combine if the health works out. Like, teams are going to like him as a potential Jahmyr Gibbs type of player. Whereas Quinshon Judkins has the experience being that between the tackles, consistent, great contact balance, you know, can hit the big play. It'll be interesting to see how they utilize both those guys. I have a little bit of fear of Judkins from an athletic perspective, but I think it's enough that he's, you know, better than a Najee Harris, someone we saw go late first round. But there's a ton of running backs. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's another running, if there's three running backs in the first round. Ashton Jane T from Boise State's maybe the best pass catching running back I've seen in the past 5 years from that pure, you know, purely that single thing.
Wow.
You know, he's getting talked up as a potential first round pick. I mean, Ollie Gordon, the second from Oklahoma State, had multiple 200 yard rushing games. If Barry Sanders hadn't gone to Oklahoma State, he'd have every rushing record. I think there's more about 7 to 8 deep at the running back position of players that should go in the top 100 and have potential to be lead backs in the NFL. And we haven't seen that in a long, long time.
That is high praise. I warmed my heart when I saw how high you have Ashton Jeanty, you know, going off the board early second round there in a good class, highly contested, as you said. It's not just, you know, you're not just throwing that out for participation medals there. And Jeanty, can you open up just a couple more bullet points on him? Because, again, he's someone that I haven't watched him a ton. You know, Boise State is not appointment viewing in general, but they've been a relative running back factory. I have him as a 99% receiving score guy. I mean, he's been dominant in my model. And someone that you just, you know, between Gibbs and there's a few other recent guys that have been elite, you would actually use that phrase elite. But Jeanty is one of those, and he has a size. He's not a buck 85 or anything like that. He's a prototypical, can be a three down higher usage guy.
Absolutely. I mean, at 215 pounds, he's moving out there in space. The route running looks like a receiver that's a buck 95, and to me, that's not something I see from running back too often. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs is one of the best receiving backs we've seen, but he was 200 pounds, and that's what he should be good at. You shouldn't have a 215 pound running back that can come out of the backfield like JT, you know, run a circle route, run up the sideline and be able to outrun guys, and then after the catch, now you have a weapon in space that he's, you know, Jeanty's not a tall guy. He's going to come in under 5'9", which I like. I like shorter backs because they're tougher to tackle, and he has some power to him along with that athleticism. So I think you have a complete potential running back, and I think at worst case, like, the floor is really high because if you're a team, you draft him, you're not going to not use JT as a receiver. You're just going to do it. So I think for fantasy, he's, you know, you could definitely make the argument that JT's the top running back in this class for fantasy, even if he's the third or fourth taken off the board.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Two high variance guys that are pretty big names. Nick Singleton is one that the career arc hasn't quite gone perfectly. Katron Allen's a good back, also in Penn State. But it feels like last year there were a lot of expectations for Singletary, and he really didn't hit those for those Devy drafters. They thought they were getting the next Saquon Barkley, you know, and certainly we're on a far cry from that profile building wise. And then the other one is Trevor Etienne, who you still have in the later third round of your mock draft here. That he goes over to Georgia. He hasn't quite been the model citizen off the field. He's had a big opportunity in a major program there where they've had some injuries with UGA backs in recent. You know, they always go four or five deep, but it seems like two of them are always coming back from a knee injury. Can you talk about those two guys just in terms of what's their upside? Because they're big Devy names, and yet, again, not really viewed in the top three, four, five of the class or in your mock.
I would say if Nick Singleton knew how to play running back, he'd be the best in this class. Like,
okay.
If
you could the tools.
Combine him, yeah. If you could combine him and Katron Allen, we'd have, we'd have a stud. We'd have a top 15 running
Katron,
back.
Because Katron Allen misses the burst. And like he's like a 4.58 guy, you know, or a 4.6 guy. And if Singleton's like 4.3, he doesn't know what to do with it, right?
Yeah. He has no idea what a hole is or how to cut back, or you know, I mean, you can see him. It's so funny when you get the reverse angle of the All-22, and you can see him.
You see him thinking.
Hole, you see him see the hole, and then not go there. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
so you're saying when we do the prospect cutups, we're going to see the exact thing where everyone sees the hole right here, and he just runs right into the back. We're going to see some of that stuff.
Okay. It's like, man, you had three offensive linemen that were drafted last year from Penn State O-line. It's not, you know, there were games that. It was poor blocking, but like it was a lot of it was on Singleton, especially when Allen is getting the yards per carry consistently in that offense. So once again, it's one of those things that, hey, if Singleton puts it together this year, has a big year, and Penn State looks good, like the sky's the limit. But I mean, right now, I think a lot of the NFL grades on Singleton is day three. And there's just a big gap.
So he's going to be that guy with like a 90-something percent athleticism score, but yet he goes around 4 or 5, and we're going to get not sucked in. I mean, obviously, there's tools to work with there, but he's going to be one of those that it's like, why didn't he go higher? And we'll kind of talk about that through the whole draft process, post-combine, all that.
And because he was such a big Devy name coming out of high school, we're going to be like, it's a steal here. And then, he gets to the NFL and it's like, well, we can't play this guy. He doesn't know, what the hell's going on.
It's going to be Kristen Michael in terms of like, when he has the ball and things look good, like he's, is an overt talent, except it's few and far between. And that's going to restrict him from getting on the field because he can't do assignment football, as we call it.
Right. I think Etienne has that ability to be a running back and be a complete running back. We saw flashes of that in Florida. Like I said, the off-the-field questions, I don't know how big they're going to be. I think it's clear that Etienne will be the lead back for Georgia this year. They have a lot of young talent. Like I said, Branson Robinson had the big knee injury before last season. He'll try to come back from that. But they have a couple other talented players that they'll get involved. So I think the upside is there for Etienne to emerge from where I have him in the late third to a top 50 type of pick. He's like his brother. We all know how good Travis is and what he's done. I think there's similar athletic profiles there. I think for Trevor Etienne, we've never seen him carry a load. I mean, he's always kind of been the number two guy for his whole career. Now you stick him in, it's kind of sink or swim. So I think we could see it go either way. I'm kind of betting on a lot of these other players that we've seen be lead backs in a top tier offense right now, but we could be having a different conversation in a couple months.
You had 7 wide receivers in the first round. So the theme of pass catchers going early, being highly valued by the NFL, and it's a good class coming up next year. It seems like that's been a running theme in recent years here. I wanted to go with an obvious guy and then maybe a surprising name that folks might not be expecting in round one from your mock draft. Luther Burden, first one off the board here, top 5 pick. Can you talk about him in the, you know, what type of player is he in terms of a wide receiver? He's really good after the catch. You know, he's got some, he's been a phenom at Missouri there, not exactly your prototypical powerhouse team. And so what makes him worthy of being a top five pick, as we've seen from guys like Marvin Harrison Jr. and a few others in recent years?
Yeah, look, I think Burden is one of those kind of very bulky, you know, guys that you can get the ball in his hands and he's going to do a lot of damage to you. Like you said, after the catch, we see him being used in Missouri in the screen game. We see him on some short slants, you know, some outside fades, nine routes. He's running kind of a full route tree there, which that to me, that puts him at number one on my board. I just know exactly what I'm seeing and I'm seeing the routes happen almost, you know, I feel like we do this every year, so I apologize for the comp, but, you know, almost another, like, we always say, hey, this guy's Debo Samuel. I mean, I think Burden actually has that talent. You know, we try to pin this third, fourth round guy as the next Debo Samuel, but I think Burden is, like, already doing that in college where teams have to scheme the ball away from him to be able to win, and, you know, Burden's just very difficult to do that with. So I think he has, you know, he's probably going to push 205 to 210 in the NFL. Good hands, good leaping ability. Like I said, a full route tree plus just the damage after the catch. I mean, his knowledge of angles and how, where to run and how to run to get the most yards he can from a defense, I think is, you know, just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, someone from this class, you know, if you think playmaker, maybe someone like Malik Nabers, and we saw Malik Nabers, you know, would have been a wide receiver one off the board if not for Marvin Harrison Jr. A name that I've kind of gone back and forth with, you know, obviously a guy that was a freshman breakout this past year, not quite as much. And that was Antonio Williams, a wide receiver out of Clemson. And Antonio Williams is one that a little bit subsized, not quite as thick, you know, a little different than Luther Burden, for example, if you're in the sub 6 foot category. But Antonio Williams sneaks in to the later first round here. What was his story in 2023? What kind of profile is he building here? And obviously you still have big expectations because, you know, being a right in there for the top five, top 10 off the board of the wide receiver position next year.
Yeah, look, it was a season where Williams hit multiple injuries, you know, try to come back too soon and then wasn't able to, ended up back in the medical tent. Like, it was not a year last year where you say, oh, this guy's a first round pick. But I think we saw that as a freshman, what he's able to do. We saw the athletic profile where I think he's going to be, Antonio Williams would be a very good combine player. You know, I wouldn't bet on, hey, he's there right now. Like, oh, he's a first round pick if the draft was held today. This is a projection that Clemson is going to improve. It's a poor offense last 2 years, really, and they need to get better. He's going to still be the wide receiver one or wide receiver two of that team. And, you know, do we see that? I think we see these kind of faster, even undersized wide receivers that have the ability. We've seen them go in the first round. So it's kind of a projection on my part. I mean, I think the floor is low. You know, I think Antonio Williams, honestly, if I had to guess, I would guess he's not in the 2025 draft. I would guess, you know, he's probably going to be one of those guys that sticks around a little bit longer to try to keep improving his stock because the floor, you know, is undrafted. I mean, he has that type of floor as well. So it's definitely a projection of what this year will be.
Yeah, the tight end I wanted to ask you about, because this is not a Brock Bowers year coming up in 2025. Bowers was projected there, you know, Kyle Pitts. These are guys that were multi years out that were already being viewed in that rarefied air. I really, you know, breaking it down for some of my Devy drafts and some of these tight end premiums where you do take shots at the position, you basically a requisite to go after it, that I didn't really feel like any of them at cost really struck my eye enough in terms of the physical tools and upside there. Talk to me about Colston Loveland out of Michigan, the highest one coming off the board for you. And I guess my biggest question is fluidity and upside of his athleticism. It would be my question mark in terms of being a true receiving playmaker. Is he that type? Can you kind of put him into a bucket so we can get a sense of him as a prospect for him at the tight end position?
Yeah, I mean, I think Colston Loveland is one of those players that is better for the real NFL than he will be for us. You know,
okay.
it's that type. I feel like he's maybe a smaller Michael Mayer in that type of way, where you have a two-way player who okay. obviously playing for Michigan. Loveland's a top-notch blocker. He's tough. He's physical. And I think teams are going to like that. Plus you have someone who has that kind of soft hand ability. I mean, I think upside, if you're hoping for upside, you're hoping for kind of a Trey McBride. Loveland has kind of the body control to do a lot of different things and be open in space, but I'm not sure if he has that type of athleticism. So I'm with you. From a fantasy perspective, Loveland, I don't think it's going to be super exciting, even if he's a top 20 pick.
It's going to be viewed in that Michael Mayer role of like, man, yeah. two-way player, look at him, you know, really control the edge on some of these run plays. So NFL value a little more. I'm almost thinking like Heath Miller. Remember how he was a really good player and he never really capped out fantasy-wise of being what we right. wanted from a counting stats perspective.
You need the touchdowns. The Loveland's going to need the touchdowns in the NFL to be good for us.
Okay, excellent. Well, Shane Hallam, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents here. Big opportunity. You can find him over at Draft Sharks. What else would you like to highlight? And again, people should go find you on your last pieces, I would assume, over at Draft Countdown is where you live for that 7-round mock draft. What else do you have in store? Obviously, a big start here over at Draft Sharks.
Yeah, I'm excited. You can, you know, if you want to go back to any of the rookies from this year, I did a ton of work for Draft Sharks part-time for them there. Also, a Draft Countdown, and it'll stay up there, is my all-time grades, which I think is interesting. So I've been scouting the NFL draft since the 2004 draft and have my top 25 at the position. So if you want to see, you know, how do people really rank up historically in my eyes, I think that's a fun read.
Excellent. Yeah. So follow Shane on Twitter as well. And like you mentioned, Draft Countdown as well as Draft Sharks. Shane Hallam, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents. I am Chad Parsons. As always, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.